This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sherrod Gutten. With me, Melissa Idris and Tan Chung Han. Now, we'll be covering some of the top business stories of the day. Yesterday's announcement by the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, expressing his intention to seek a yen credit from Japan. I think this grabbed many headlines. He said he's spoken to Japanese President Shinzo Abe. Now, Japanese Prime Minister. Here's what the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir, had to say at the press conference in Tokyo.
I have explained the financial problem faced by Malaysia, and towards solving this financial problem, I had requested for yen credit from Japan, and Mr. Abe, the Prime Minister, has agreed that they would study this request. The resolution of the debt problem of Malaysia would enable Malaysia to once again be a good market for Japan and also for Japanese investments in Malaysia.
That was Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad.
Yeah, so the rationale for this is to help resolve federal debt, which the new government says has reached over 1 trillion ringgit by 80% of GDP. So the idea is to retire some of the country's existing debt, taking up a loan from Japan, this yen credit, soft loans, hopefully below market interest rates. However, one of the things that came out from this announcement was that if this proposal is accepted, Japan would have a say on how the loan will be utilized. I think Dr. Mahathir had said that the money must be used for what we promised Japan we would use it for. Which is fair enough, but it does indicate a certain level of involvement.
Mm. Right, and also, okay, as to what this yen credit could be used for. So Tun Dr. Mahathir mentioned that, look, some of the debt for Malaysia, the cost is too high, and I think some of it is borrowed at a 6% interest,
yeah.
Right? And even some of them had to apparently pay a 10% commission for the arrangement of some of those loans. So let's say you borrow $1 million, but you're only getting 900,000 because 10% of it apparently went out in commissions.
Yeah, so all these kind of deals that have been negotiated with certain clauses put in that we want to, I guess, now unwind.
Yeah, the question is, you know, who were those agents collecting
those hefty commissions?
Yeah. Well, we have a long history of deals with heavy commissions. I think Goldman Sachs got a huge commission. I think in the Scopin deal, there was a huge commission. And maybe a commission will be set up to look at the commission.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Very good. Okay, so, but I think what is also interesting is, I mean, speaking about historically, this isn't new, right? So Dr. Mahathir has gone to Japan before when it comes to looking for a line of credit. I think it was back in 1998 after the Asian financial crisis. We sought out aid from the Japanese Official Development Assistance, or ODA. At that point in time, we got a soft loan with an interest rate of 0.7%, and that was over a 40-year period. So low interest rate, long loan tenure, which was seen to be quite favourable for Malaysia. However, that was also the point in time where the yen, I believe, appreciated significantly against the ringgit. So that put us at foreign currency risk.
Right, exactly. And this is one of the key risks, right? The idea of tapping another sovereign for these loans, because not just the forex risk, okay? I mean, because keep in mind that over 97% of Malaysian debt is actually denominated in ringgit. Okay, so in other words, most of our debt is here on shore, all right? So it makes sense if this yen credit is used to refinance, say, some of our dollar-denominated debt.
Okay, sure.
That makes sense, right? But again, it only accounts for about 3-4% of our debt levels, right? But it would not make sense if this was to be used to refinance ringgit. Denominated debt, okay? Because they're all these implications. You know, it can get quite technical, but in short, it's just not a good idea.
However, I did notice some comments made by Sunway University professor of economics, Yia Kim Ling. He spoke to Starbiz, and he reckons that, okay, so if you were going to get this could be a favorable proposition for Malaysia, because the yen, the chances of higher, the prospects of higher appreciation for that currency currency would be lower compared to, say, the yuan, China, for instance, as an economy that has stronger output, productivity growth, that tends to have higher appreciation prospects. So the yen may be a more favorable currency compared to the yuan, Chinese yuan?
Yeah, it depends, right? Is it yuan-denominated debt we're talking about, or is it dollar-denominated debt we're talking about, right?
So and how much, right? To what ratio?
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, so, you know, what we're seeing here is Tun Dr. Mahathir reverting to what he knew, what he was familiar with, you know, especially during the 98 financial crisis, going back to a country that is familiar, and, you know, using those same lines again, right? Now, we do not know what the Japanese government's stance is on this yet. You know, we don't know if they are willing to extend a credit.
They say they consider the proposal. Yeah. Consider only.
And, yeah, you know, I think the other thing is, we've kind of forgotten about Japan in the Southeast Asian landscape, at least in terms of, you know, their investments in infrastructure, for instance. We brought it up several days ago. But, you know, it's been eclipsed by how dominant the China investment story has been. I mean, it's such a big story. But when we looked at the numbers, we in fact tweeted out a few days ago a link. The Japanese investment in infrastructure in the region still outstrips China's investments by a huge margin. And, you know, and if you look at those graphs, we had the comparison between China and Japan, Malaysia's, there's no balance. It's very skewed towards China at the moment.
And what you want in some is countries a balance, is more right? balanced. Yeah. Yeah. Countries like Thailand, for instance, had a more balanced approach to investments from Japan and China.
Despite their political alignment towards China, some see it.
Right. Certainly, you know, now, that's not to say that Japan hasn't been involved in, say, FDI and trade here in Malaysia. But coming back to the aspects of refinancing the debt, right, I think this is something that we often miss. Because we got ringgit-denominated debt, and because most of the government debt or bonds are actually held by local institutions like EPF and Coop, guess what? Those interest payments that the government makes actually comes back to us. Specifically EPF or Coop members, right, etc. So when you have a yen credit, those interest payments actually go offshore. They leave our hands, so we don't benefit.
But the trade-off would be we save money, comparative, right? The opportunity cost of, say, going with another loan with higher interest, higher borrowing costs?
Yeah, somewhat, right? But then also you keep in mind, then you've got to factor in costs for hedging as well. Right, if you hedge against foreign currency, right, to mitigate the fluctuations in this forex, then that adds on, that erodes whatever savings that you have as well. So there are plenty more. There are other factors that have to be considered here. It's perhaps not as straightforward as
it's a lot of work for the council of eminent persons to be doing.
they need
to consider all this.
No, it's a lot of work for Saudara YB Lim Guan Eng. You know, yes, he's the accountant. Right. Yeah, got to make it balance. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to some other statements that have been made now emanating from the government. Tun Dr. Mahathir seems to have softened his stance on the high-speed rail, stating now it's merely postponed and not entirely scrapped.
Yeah, so I hope these comments weren't coming right off the back of, you know, a request for a soft loan from Japan. Mm. And I hope they're not interlinked. So Japan has said that they are still interested in the HSR project if it were to be revived. And now Tun Dr. Mahathir is saying that, you know, it's not postponed. It's not scrapped. It's just postponed. We cannot say, to quote him verbatim, we cannot say we will never have high-speed rail in Malaysia. I'm sure Japan's Shinkansen will be very interested to participate if that is going to be back on the table. The other mega project that we're also keeping an eye on this morning is the ECRL. That's on the front page of Star Biz. And I think it's fascinating to learn that at least 15 billion ringgit could essentially be shaved off the total bill of ECRL. So I think the total cost that was projected, 55 billion ringgit, that is specifically for the track from Port Klang to Pangkalan Kubo in Kelantan. That track, 55 billion ringgit, apparently you can shave off 15 million, so making it just about 40.
Right, and also, you know, and on top of that, there's an additional 20 billion that could be needed to complete that 600 kilometer railway track. And from that 55, that was the projected cost, but apparently the previous government had signed for the entire project worth 66 billion ringgit. and that's for phases one and two.
Yeah, so some of the things that the council of eminent persons learned after discussing with top management of the ECRL project was that there's this mobilization fee, you know, yet another fee that we're paying for on top of this project. It's 15%. And that mobilization fee apparently is three times higher than other mobilization fees for infrastructure projects. So why has the ECRL mobilization fee been, there's a markup for this, right? 15% out of the 66 billion ringgit.
And, you know, that's part of the same story that we hear over and over again. But what was going on in the mind of government then when it negotiated these deals, and who benefited most from the terms of those deals? In England, London rather, Anwar Ibrahim, as emissary of the Pakatan Ram Rakyat government, said that a series of deals funded by the Malaysian sovereign and pension funds should be investigated and renegotiated if there's any wrongdoing. And he included the purchase of the Battersea Power Station in his discussion.
Yeah, and also in a couple of minutes from now, when markets open, we'll see how the shares of SP Sitya, of Sime Darby will fare, because they are part of that. Sime Darby?
Sime Darby Property as well as SP Sitya. Right. Yesterday, the shares fell quite significantly.
Right, you know, EPF, PNB all involved over there as well.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin, and we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.